This is a special presentation of WSB Sports. I'm Jay Black, and the reason you're hearing the Braves Tomahawk Chop right now is that this time next week we will be in Cooperstown, New York, as Chipper Jones becomes the sixth Brave inducted into Baseball's Hall of Fame. Over the next week, you will be hearing a lot from Chipper about his enshrinement. Nobody has played more professional baseball games in Atlanta than Jones, and he ranks second in franchise history in many offensive categories behind one man, and that's Hank Aaron, and that is what the special hour is focused on. WSB Radio News Director Chris Camp joins me now, and Chris, we had a chance to sit down with the Hammer, and the main focus of our conversation was to talk about his connection with Chipper and the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. but we were able to cover a lot more than that.
You know, Hank still has those big hands.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand why he was the Hammer and why he hit so many home runs. You know, the takeaway when we were over in his living room was, you know, before Hank came in, was just looking around the living room and just seeing, you know, the history, the awards, the accolades that are so well deserved. And then when Hank comes in and it's just, you know, I mean, it's, I don't want to say royalty, but it's really, he's such a down-to-earth guy, very accommodating, just very nice, very special, that, you know, it's almost like you sit down and you talk, it's like you've been friends for years. The takeaway for me is Hank is 84 now, and it's just amazing how vivid his memories are of you know, the days when he was coming up, and the trials, the tribulations. It's just so clear, and it's so concise when he's telling stories or responding to questions.
And we'll hear some of those stories right now. To Mr. Aaron's living room we go. Hank Aaron, one-on-one on WSB. First of all, Mr. Aaron, update our listeners. How you been doing and what you been up to?
Well, I've been doing better than my leg, but I've been doing fine. I'm very thankful. I've been moving around quite a bit. My wife and I've been traveling quite a bit, so we're happy.
How much ball are you getting to watch these days?
I watch quite a bit of it. In fact, I see all of the Braves games. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go out to see what I want to see, but I get my dose of medicine from what I see from the young players and what they're doing and how the team is moving.
You got to like what you're seeing these days.
I am. I'm very much so. I'm very enthused about the way things are moving around, and especially the young kids. They're playing very well. Mm-hmm. One or two of them is doing some unexpected things, mm-hmm. but then one or two of them is doing some expected thing. But that's what to be. That is to be. You know, I mean, really, when you see four or five kids coming up, mm-hmm. and one of them, two of them doing well, two or three of them doing well, they get to love each other and mm-hmm. feed off one another, you know, really.
It could be infectious.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I think they've done well. I'm very pleased with the way things are going.
Mm-hmm. Going to make the playoffs this year?
Well, it's a possibility. There is a possibility. And I think that they don't make it. It's another year coming around. They're very young. And it's a possibility that they can probably go as far as the World Series. Who knows? I'm not saying this year, but the thing that I see in them, what makes me so marvelous to the way things are happening now, is the progress that I see in some of the young kids. This is the big leagues. And when these kids are playing the way that they're playing now, they can't do it. They can't do any better, but just improve. So I am very much in favor of that.
Do you notice, is the pressure to perform, how has that changed over the years since when you were playing or you were coming up and you were one of those young ball players?
Well, to be very honest with you, for me, it was quite a thing for me mm-hmm. as a black player coming up mm-hmm. to perform well. Today, it's a lot different. There was a time when I first came up, there were only three black players on the team, and they were not bench players. They were players that played every day. Mm-hmm. And so I had to perform. So today it's a lot different. The young kids, I see them out there having fun playing. It's a lot different because they're having fun playing. Plus they're making a lot of money and they're enjoying themselves, which they should.
Do you like where the game is at right now?
I do. I do. I like where the game is going. I still see we can improve in some areas where the game could be a lot quicker. I would like to see that. But I do like the way the game is going on now. I see a lot of young kids, not only with the Braves, but with Philadelphia, with some of the other teams. You know, they're bringing a lot of young kids up. And what is happening, I think, that a lot of these kids are being schooled in college and in high school. And when they play college and high school ball, and they play 1 year of college ball, then they draft it, and they only spend maybe a half a year in the minor leagues, and they're ready to major leagues. So it makes it a lot different.
How would you feel hitting into a shift?
You know, when I came up, I hit to all field. Didn't know. Wow. I was kind of like Yogi Berra. I was kind of like Yogi. Yogi and I was kind of like, you know, we saw the ball and we swung at it.
Here with Braves legend Hank Aaron as we get ready for Hall of Fame weekend for Chipper Jones up in Cooperstown. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Chipper?
Being consistent. And that's the name of the game when you go into Cooperstown, is to be consistent at what you're doing. And that's what you think about Chipper. You think about Chipper doing the same thing on Monday that he would do on Friday.
When was the first time you saw him play?
Oh, my God. Well, I saw him as a baby, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And I saw him and as a high school kid.
What was your scouting report when you saw him?
Believe it or not, mine was an A+. But some people didn't do that. Some people didn't have him as an A+, you know.
In 1990, the year he was drafted, you were the farm director, correct?
I was.
How close was it between Chipper Jones and Todd Van Poppel for that first game?
Very, very close. In fact, I talked to his father, Todd Van Poppel, his father. And he flat out told me to my face, he said, you guys might as well draft somebody else because Todd is not going to play with your ball club. And so I carried the news back to our front office, which I was kind of glad because I wanted Chipper anyhow. I thought that Chipper would be the better of the two. So I kind of felt like rather than worry about a pitcher that's going to pitch every 4 days or once every 4 days, that I could get somebody who can play every day.
What was it about Chipper? Was it something in his swing? Was it a defense or what? Anything? One thing that popped out that said, you know, we got to go with this guy.
I think it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it was his swing and his being able to hit both left and right-handed and be able to take care of his load. I could see him in 2 or 3 years being what they call a carrier on the ball club. I mean, being able to focus with other players on the team to make them carry their load. So that made things a lot different, you know, with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it was different than what you had seen in other players.
Yes. He was young in high school, and I knew that he was going to grow up to be a Hall of Famer if nothing happened. And he didn't disappoint me.
How do you, as a Hall of Famer and as the home run king, how did you evaluate talent? What did you need to see?
At that time, of course, I'd been fresh from finishing baseball myself. I didn't know enough about what it is that I needed to know in order to say, hey, this guy was going to be the greatest, one of the greatest players to get to the big league and go to the Hall of Fame. I just knew that he had the talent to do some great things. And you have to remember that baseball is played every single day, you know, I mean, it's played every day, and people don't horn into, I mean, when I say make themselves go and do the right thing every day, because what happened yesterday is only good for, as my mother would say, is wrapping dead fish in. That's no good. You got to show me what you can do today. And that's the difference in baseball.
Did you ever try to switch hit?
I did at one time in my first year in baseball in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, I started switch hitting. And what kept me from switch hitting, I was doing very well, very well. And what kept me from being a very good switch hitter was the fact that I remember taking batting practice in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Back then, they had these raggedy nets, batting cages. And I was in the batting cage, and I swung the bat, turned the batter loose, and it went through the net and cracked one of my teammates' nose. And I decided I wasn't going to ever pick up a bat swinging left-handed again.
You switched your hands, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I switched that because only because I was taught the wrong way. Cross-handed.
Yes, cross-handed.
Yes,
exactly.
Right.
Yet another reminder that Hank Aaron hit 755 homers with his hands backwards on the bat. Coming up next, the Hammer takes us through Hall of Fame weekend. This is Hank Aaron, one-on-one on the Sports Voice of the South, WSB. Welcome back to our conversation with Hank Aaron on WSB. I'm Jay Black with Chris Camp, talking to one of baseball's greatest players from his living room about the Hall of Fame as we get ready for Chipper Jones induction next week.
When we get to induction weekend, you and all the Hall of Famers will be up there. What do you guys talk about?
Talk about what you did a few years ago, the home run that you hit, but went 320 and it ended up going 450 feet. Tell lies. That's what they do. It's a fun weekend. It really is a fun weekend. Cooperstown, I vouch that if nobody had never been there, they should go there. You know, really. I mean, taking nothing away from football, basketball, whatever. But I don't think there's anything like being a weekend having fun at Cooperstown and having induction.
What's for those that will be going for the first time, what do they need to see?
Well, they need to go through a museum. They need to go through that. And I tell you, they have made some tremendous improvement. And they have done some great things for the Hall of Fame. And it looks fabulous. I love it.
What's kind of some of the best stories that you've picked up over the years with the other Hall of Famers?
Oh,
the biggest lies.
it takes me a while to tell you about that. Well, I don't know. You know, you sit around and you talk about things. You know, you really talk about games that you played 10 years ago and say, you remember when you was at bat? Now, this is coming from the pitcher. And I threw you a ball that far outside and the umpire called it a ball. I said, never happened.
Chipper said that he's prepared to be the rookie.
Yeah,
and
well,
when he goes to Cooperstown, how are the rookies treated?
Treated very well. They are unlike any place in baseball. We have a night where there's nobody there but just the Hall of Famers, just up talking to the commissioner talking, and then we take a picture. And really, it's his weekend. It belongs to him. They take you away from the excitement of the people. And not that it hurts anything, but it takes it away from the excitement from the people and give it to you. It's your weekend. You do what you want to do with it. And it's a great weekend because I can go downstairs and I can talk to whoever I want to talk to. You don't have to worry about people carousing and bothering you, you know.
Your induction weekend still real clear in your mind?
Not really.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah. Tell us about that weekend.
Well, scared.
Yeah.
Nervous. I guess the reason for that is because I didn't know what to expect. You hear about things and you read about things and you hear people say, well, it's unlike any other weekend. And it is unlike any other weekend. I woke up that morning. I guess my wife said I got up much earlier than I usually get up, practicing my 10-minute speech. And most guys talk a long time because it's your dice. Mm-hmm. You can do what you want to do it. And got to the stage and was still a little nervous. And Frank and I went in the same time. Frank Robinson and I mm-hmm. was inducted in the same time. I had one wonderful time. And then you take a little tour of the Hall of Fame, and it's just a fun weekend mm-hmm. for you. And you really learn to enjoy it, and you learn to appreciate baseball. Mm-hmm. And I've said this many times that a lot of people don't realize that you don't think about the Hall of Fame. You don't think about it until the middle of your career, and then you start thinking, you say, you know, if I continue to do certain things, I could probably be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And let me tell you, I don't care who it is, where they come from. If you're not, you miss it. And I am so glad that I was inducted in there and so glad that I have brought a lot of my colleagues with me, like Chipper and Phil Niekro and some of the other greats. But it's a great feeling. Mm. It really is a great feeling. It makes it feel like after it all, you know, I played 23 years. I don't know how many years Chipper played. But anyhow, it makes you feel like you have accomplished something.
I asked Chipper this question when he went up there for his orientation in April. Do you feel like you belong? He said, no, I don't. Did you feel like you belong when you first got to go through there?
I didn't think about it. But he does belong there. His plaque belongs there. He belongs there. I know it may not feel that way, but he is part of the Hall of Fame. And that carries a big load. that's a big responsibility.
Coming up next, we go back through Mr. Aaron's career and what he says is his greatest accomplishment. You're listening to Hank Aaron, one-on-one on WSB. The special presentation of WSB Sports continues. I'm Jay Black as we continue our conversation with Braves legend, the home run king, Hank Aaron, as we prepare for Chipper Jones' induction into Baseball's Hall of Fame in a week. Joined again by Chris Camp. And, Chris, we had a chance to broadcast from a lot of unique places in our careers, but Hank Aaron's living room is not bad.
Yeah, it really isn't. And it's funny because I went to the Braves game. We did the interview on a Friday afternoon, and I was at the Braves game the next day on Saturday, and I think I texted a picture to you and to Judd, of the ballpark, and I said, how many people here today do you think actually spent the day, the prior day, in Hank Aaron's living room? And it was very memorable for me. I mean, being a baseball fan, and to be able to sit down with Hank Aaron and listen to stories and pick his brain was just tremendous.
We continue now with our conversation with Braves legend Hank Aaron from Hank Aaron's living room. And first of all, we appreciate you letting us come in your home. It is a beautiful home.
Well, thank you very much. We enjoy it.
Over our shoulder is a mural of some of Hank's accomplishments, and it starts with you as a boy. What did baseball mean to you when you were a kid in Mobile?
Well, it gives me the satisfaction. You're speaking about it, being in the living room of my home. And the thing that I think that I marvel at and it makes me feel so good is the fact that the pictures that you are referring to is my mother and father, you know, and as a little boy growing up in Mobile, Alabama. And I bought that from a friend of mine many, many, many years ago. And I love it. I love it. And most of the pictures here and books that you see here are from my wife and all that, but it makes you feel good.
When did you think you had a chance to make it as a ball player?
I don't know. I don't know that I ever got to that point where I felt not like I was initiated to the point that I needed to prove myself over and over again. But I felt like every year was in my case, and in the case that I, when I was playing, it was a little bit different than it is today. I never signed a two-year contract. That's number one. So I always signed a one-year contract, and I played 23 years. And the thing was that in my days, which I'm not griping, I'm just telling the fact, in my days, if you hit 300 this year and the next year you hit 280, then you would be in line to get a pay cut. That's the way things were back then. But I always felt like every year was a year that I had to prove myself to be in the big leagues, which was it didn't bother me because God had given me the talent to play the game of baseball, and I certainly didn't abuse it. I did the very best that I possibly could do.
We talked earlier about how you evaluated Chipper when he was coming up. How did people evaluate you when you were a teenager?
Oh, my goodness. If you read stories that they said about me, what I did, and what, you know, I started out in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Class C ball, and I was extremely lucky to have played the year and a half in the minor leagues, because back in the days when I played, they could practically bury you in the minor leagues. They could send you from A ball to B ball to B ball to D ball. The Yankees must have had 10 different farm clubs. The Braves had 5 or 6. So they could bury you, and there was no rules and regulation that said they couldn't, you know. But in my case, I got lucky. I played in Eau Claire, I think I won the Rookie of the Year award there. I went from there to Jacksonville. From Jacksonville, I played a little bit in Puerto Rico. And then after that, I was in the big leagues. So I was extremely lucky. And I played with a team that needed my talent, the Braves at that time. It was Milwaukee Braves. And I came up with Spahn and Matthews and all of us. So we came up just about like these kids did, only we didn't have as many as they got, you know.
And it didn't take long for you guys to click.
No, it didn't.
Talk to me for a bit about the racial aspect of the game. You once said you felt after Jackie Robinson died that you felt you had a responsibility to carry on the Jackie Robin legacy, I think. Right. It may be the best way to put it.
Well, when I first came up, you know, of course, Jackie was just in the middle of his career. Mm-hmm. And I got to know him pretty well. And he said, playing baseball is good, he said, but you have a responsibility to your teammates, and not only to your teammates, but you have a responsibility to every black player that's around. And back in those days, there wasn't many black players. We only had a few. Back in the days when I was playing, once we saw a movie on Monday, there was absolutely nothing for a black ball player to do. Mm-hmm. We couldn't go to the racetrack. We couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. That was the end of it. Mm-hmm. So talking to Jackie Robinson, Jackie said, you guys have the responsibility of kind of overturning this stuff, letting people know that you're not satisfied with the way things are. And that's what I meant. That's what he meant by that.
Interesting. Yes.
How did you react when you found out that the team was going to move from Milwaukee down to the South?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about that, and a lot of it is untrue. I was born in Mobile, Alabama. So it didn't bother me. That was not my big thing, you know, because being a baseball player, hell, you can play a baseball game anyway. That didn't bother me. You know, people said, well, he didn't want to come. He didn't want to. That was not true. I never once said I wouldn't come to Atlanta to play baseball, because a baseball park is a baseball park. So you play it anyway, you know. So it didn't bother me wherever I played at.
When you hit 715, did you even imagine that people would still consider you the home run king 45 years later?
Well, they do in some ways, you know. I feel I'm proud of it, you know, regardless to whether they say, well, you the home run king or not. You know, I tell a lot of people, and I put it this way, I say, yours truly is not going to hit another home run. My career is over with, done with. I did the very best that I possibly could do the 23 years that I played, and I'm not going to do anything else, you know, other than try to help those who want to be helped.
Are you surprised that nobody has been able, with the exception of one, to pass you?
No, never thought about it. You know, you had one player, you know, Barry Bonds did it. The only thing that's different now than it was back then was the fact that the kids today, and I said this may affect the Hall of Fame, the kids today don't need to play as long as I did. I needed to play. I had a family to support. When you make the kind of money I made, you know, you have to work in the summertime and in the wintertime. you got to do the very best that you can. You know?
You mean they weren't offering you $50 million to play play right field like Bryce Harper?
No, I don't know. You know, I say, you know, I was blessed. I was blessed. You know, I have to play against people like Ted Williams, Stan Musial, Jackie Robinson, Gibson, all these Hall of Famers, you know. It's not going to happen again, you know, really.
I've never hit a home run. Uh-huh. What is it like to hit a home run for Hank Aaron?
It's been so long since I hit one. No, it feels good. It feels good. You know, you hit so many of them until you know when you hit a home run. And the difference in the balls that I hit, the home runs that I hit versus the home runs that somebody hit, you know, you're going to see when they have the home run derby, you're going to see balls going 500. Well, of course, those balls are jacked up, too. But anyhow, my ball just barely made it over the fence. So I felt quite proud of that.
I know they didn't give you measurements, but what's the farthest you remember hitting a ball?
I hit a ball off, I believe, in the World Series, right by Yankee Stadium, by the Babe statue out there in center field.
That's a long way.
It is a long way. It is a long way. I could have chopped that up and got a lot of singles out of it.
In the new Yankee Stadium now, they don't hit it that far anywhere.
No. They're built for home runs now.
What was the most fun you had while playing in Atlanta?
I guess being here near my mother, being able to drive here with my father and my sisters and brothers to watch me play. I think that was the most fun I had. You know, I had a lot of fun in Milwaukee, lots of fun. And we were very successful in Milwaukee. But playing here in in Atlanta, my mother could drive here from Mobile in 2 hours, come here to see me play.
And we'll pause it right there. Coming up, Hank Aaron on why 715 is not the moment that defines his life and what he wants his legacy to be. This is Hank Aaron, one-on-one on WSB. Back here on WSB as we wrap up our exclusive conversation with Hank Aaron from the living room of his Atlanta home as we start looking forward now to Chipper Jones' induction into the Hall of Fame coming up next week. I'm Jay Black with Chris Camp.
So you hit 715, the home run king.
That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 715. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
As you look over your life, is that... I think it would be like the most important thing in my life. Is that the most important thing in Hank Aaron's life?
I would say yes, that's part of it. That would be part of it. But the most important part that I found out that is in my life is the fact that I've been able to help so many kids with my foundation. That's the greatest thing. I don't know whether you guys remember when the president came here for my birthday party. Mm-hmm. And we raised all the money that we could raise. Before then, I was raising money just going out signing autographs for $200 a whack and putting it in the foundation until my wife decided that she was going to try to help me raise some money because she had worked with the United Negro College Fund. Mm-hmm. But I would say, out of all the things that I accomplished, if I'm answering your question, out of all the things I accomplished in baseball, I think the most important thing that I think that I feel quite proud of myself is that when I see kids, black and white, it doesn't really make any difference. We do have black and white kids. And to help them fulfill their life and their dream, because doing something, no matter what it is, it can be baseball, football, basketball, teachers, lawyers, no matter what it is, it's a dream. It's a dream until you fulfill it, And that's what makes you feel good.
What do you want the Hank Aaron legacy to be?
I think that the legacy should be that he gave it everything that he had. Baseball was a game to him. People look at me and say, how did he treat baseball? I treated baseball just like I wanted to be treated, just like anybody would treat a job. It is something that I felt like God had given me the talent to play it, and I was not going to abuse it, and I was going to do the very best that I possibly could do.
Very good.
Well, Mr. Aaron, my dad wanted me to pass along how much he enjoyed watching you play ball, and I know that goes for thousands of our listeners, so we appreciate you letting us into your home and talking baseball for a little while. It's been quite a pleasure.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you very much. It's been nice talking to you guys.
Chris Camp joins me again for a final thought here as we wrap up our conversation with Hank Aaron. And you've been around baseball your entire life, but what did you learn from this interview and our conversation you did not know?
I think, for one thing, I listening to him tell the story about when I guess it's the night before the induction ceremony when all the Hall of Famers get together in a room for dinner, and it is a dinner strictly for Hall of Famers. No hangers-on, no nothing. And, man, wouldn't you want to be a fly on the wall to hear those stories? And Hank says it's interesting to hear the stories, too, because it's like, you know, telling fish tales. You know, home runs that were, you know, 390 feet suddenly are about 470. And I can just – that just must be such a special time and to be a fly on the wall in that meeting.
You could sell that seat for a lot.
Exactly, exactly.
We've all heard about how much – better a person he is than he was a ball player, and obviously he's one of the greatest ball players of all time. But just a class act.
Yeah, and what he's done for youth programs also over the years, and how he was telling us you've heard if you've been listening, it's not whether kids are black or white. It's just working with kids and you know, building character and getting them at a young age.
Glad you're able to come, Chris. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for the invite. It's awful. It was just so memorable, so memorable.
And we'll have much more baseball talk coming up this week as we get ready for Chipper Jones induction. And we'll be there with live coverage from Cooperstown and the Hall of Fame all weekend long here on WSB Radio and Channel 2 Action News. Plus, don't forget to pick up your copy of the Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution for Steve Hummer's deep dive into the making of a Hall of Fame switch hitter. It'll also be available on myajc.com. Stay with us. News, weather, and traffic are next here on WSB.